Glory to God. Well, welcome back to Training in the Word with Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., our leader, our founder, our visionary. It's so important that we understand the passion that Apostle Thompson have for the body of Christ, the people of God, and for those who are lost souls. He has a passion for lost souls. So we see in Apostle the gifts of graces, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. We see these graces operating his life, not only as an apostle, but a prophet. His evangelist outreach is powerful because he traveled. He has traveled in different states and different countries, preaching the word of God. And we also see his pastoral and his teaching anointing that's on his life. So Apostle has exemplified all five of the gifts in his ministry. So it's good for us to understand that to have a living general in our midst that we can actually see and hear and be in his presence is valuable to us understanding the kingdom plan and ideal of God for leadership in the local church, in the body of Christ, to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is so easily and clear. And so we're beholding the goodness of God in our day through the men as Apostle Thompson ministers the word of God. God has graced us. So we've been blessed by that. But today, we're going to continue in our lesson and we're going to begin to understand the fivefold graces, gifts, and how they operate and why it's so important that they be seen, demonstrated in every church so that the saints can be fully equipped for the work of ministry. For the work of ministry. Sadly to say that we live in the day where that model of the fivefold gifted is not always seen because we are denominationalism throughout the time have caused such a division in the body of Christ that we are not being equipped as we should because of the out of order of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. But we will see here as we glean in the word, we'll begin to see how important it is and why you're in this culture that we're developing so that you can be effectual witness in the light of this dark world. In the light of this dark world. So I want you to begin to focus in with me as we begin to focus in upon this supernatural culture and how God is working this thing out. On page 53 is where we want to begin. Page 53 is where we want to begin and pick up at the fivefold anointings. The fivefold anointings. Our author here and pastor is sharing with us an example of these gifts and how they function by picking up at a scenario of a car accident that has taken place. This is his imagination thinking here, not the reality of something that he experienced personally, but it's using an analogy, a scenario of a car accident and how the fivefold ministry gifts operate in this realm. So we talk about the five anointings down on page 53. It says, I think I can best introduce the attributes of the fivefold anointings by describing what happens if they all arrive together at the scene of a car accident. So the pastor is the first one out of the car. He scrambles to assess the situation and begins a tragic approach in applying first aid to injured victim. He gathers blankets, jackets, water, and anything else he can find to try to comfort them. He surveys the situation to see if anything is threatening the safety both of those who are receiving care and those who have been drawn to the scene of the accident. He talks with each person to find out his or her name, marital status, and whether he or she has children. He gathers vital sign information, and available emergency contact information in order to help the emergency respond team when they arrive. He brings a sense of calm to the situation, and each person there feels a genuine feeling of care and connection to the pastor. He wonders whether he should have been a doctor. Now, the pastoral gift that we America has modeled is one of cultivating or nurturing. The pastor is a nurturer. And so the first thing he does to his sheep or parishioners is he's always trying to make sure that everybody is safe. Everybody is safe. Everybody is calm. Everybody's issues are being ministered to. And he's concerned about the welfare of the sheep and how they are getting along in their marriage, how finances and their children are doing. And he's constantly trying to pour in comfort and safety in the parishioner to keep them from scattering, jumping from church to church and missing services, the scattering that people do in churches today. And so pastors are very concerned that he don't lose no sheep, no members leave his ministry. And when sheep decide to leave the ministry, some unannounced and some do announce they're leaving. But it's very disturbing, unease for the shepherd, because it makes him feel inadequate that he has not done an adequate job in ministering to the sheep's needs or desires. And so the first thing we see in this scenario is this: the pastoral ministry. He's always there trying to bandage the people's situations. He's always there trying to carry the weight of their situations, and in many times not realizing, in his very sincere attitude and attempt, many times the pastoral model becomes very crippling to sheep, that they're never able to learn to walk on their own. They're never able to discern God's move in their life on their own without his vision, without him, his input, without his aid. And so sheep hardly ever grow up and mature, even though they're in a safe place, but they hardly ever grow up and mature and experience God for themselves, because the sheep or the shepherd is always nurturing. He's always holding their hands. And so this is the pastoral model that we're seeing. Soon as he get out the car, he begins to cater to their needs. It says that the teacher is next on the scene. He studied the situation in order to figure out what caused the accident. He steps back, notice the patterns of the skid marks and the distance each car moved before and after the impact, and estimate the speed of each car at the point of impact. Drawing from his deep knowledge of the driver's manual and traffic laws, he develops a theory about who was at fault. His conclusion is that overall drivers need more training and would most likely benefit from mandatory classes and continuous education requirements. So the teacher here, as we notice, he's always about the preparation. He's always about the research, you know, the development of the sheep. And so he's always in that area. So he's having different programs. He's having different classes. He's having different activities go on because he's about developing the sheep, ministering to their deliverance and their breakthrough. And so therefore that nurturing atmosphere is what make a lot of saints, draw close to the pastor because it's a safe place. Something happens, I know I can call the pastor. Something happens, I know I can go, and the pastor's going to minister to me. If I go to the pastor, he's going to do his best to pay my bills and whatever else goes on in that situation. And this is, sometime again, it keeps the sheep from learning how to trust and have faith in God themselves and not depend on men, to hold their hands. To fix situations, but trust God in the Holy Spirit, the holy angels to intervene and to work it out supernaturally for them. And this is where Christians mature for the work of ministry, to be strong and to be able to leave out the ministry and go and do the work of the kingdom, yet up under the same umbrella, but out there in the fields doing what needs to be done to minister and bring healing to other people. This is extremely important here in the body of Christ. So we see the teacher model is always the nurturing model. It's always the nurturing model. So he, number one is understanding there, the teacher, that his conclusion is that overall drivers need more, Christians need more training. We use the word drivers here based upon the study of the book. But he's talking about Christians, that we need more training and what most likely benefited there was some mandatory classes that we need to take, you know, and continue education requirements. This is a teacher's mindset. So mark that as number one, that the mindset of the teacher is training, continuous education and mandatory classes. This is that we need to continue to walk with the Lord. That is his focus. Okay, so let's move to the evangelist. We're going to try to get through all five of these if we can. The evangelist arrives on the scene and asks everyone, lying in a safe place. Why? Because the pastor put him in a safe place, a comfortable place, thanks to the pastor. If you were to die as a result of your injuries, do you know where you will go, heaven or hell? Well, that's evangelism. Evangelism concerning about the final state of the soul of the man or the person. And this is where evangelism is always concerned, whether people are saved or not, and whether they'll go to heaven or whether they'll go to hell. They are saying, look what it says here. He then noted that there is a large gathering of bystanders and people in their cars who have pulled over to watch. He begins to address the large crowd with the same question. There are no guarantees that you will make it home safely. You see, the evangelist is the soul seeker. He's out to win souls, and that's his main priority. Not so much about the bandage, not so much about is everybody safe, but is everybody saved? Is everybody saved? So his focus is soul winning. And he's not too much concerned about church, you know, as far as the pastoral and the gathering of people inside the church. But he's concerned about winning souls and then aiming people toward the shepherd, the pastor, to nurture them and to train them and educate them. But he's concerned about, are you saved? Are you delivered? Are you made whole? Is Jesus Lord of your life? That is his main forte in any situation. That's the evangelism. Evangelism at its greatest height. Are we saved? He goes on to say, there are no guarantees that you will make it home safely. Do you know where you will go? People give their hearts to the Lord right there on the side of the road. He explains to all these new believers that the greatest gift you can ever give to someone else is the gift of salvation. He trains them to lead others to Christ and prays for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come upon them all. Afterward, he says that this was great and decides to go purchase a police scanner when he gets back to town. The evangelist is so enthusiastic about saving souls that every place he goes is a fishing pond. It's a fishing opportunity. Jesus said to the disciples, he says, come and follow me, and I'm going to make you fishermen of men. That evangelism spirit is where the evangelist is. And whether he's in the shopping center, where he's in the mall, on the streets at a football game, it doesn't matter. He's always looking around for that unsaved sinner that he can get him saved and get him to know Jesus Christ as Lord. And, you know, and train him up so he can become an evangelist himself and go forward and win more souls to the kingdom of God. Well, the Bible says that he who wins souls is wise. So it's important that we understand that evangelism has to be in our ministries. If our ministry is not soul winning ministries, then there's the absence and the ineffectiveness of the maturity or the work of the kingdom. There can't be no spreading of the gospel without evangelism. There could be no in-home saving, street saving, you know, world outreach without evangelism. So our churches need to be evangelist focused, even though we are in a pastoral model. Evangelism is necessary. The church grows through evangelism. People mature through evangelism in witnessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's very important. So number two is the evangelist. And so when we ask you on a question, what are the fivefold graces? Then you can easily say it is the pastor, it's the apostles, it's the prophet, it's the evangelist, it's the pastor and the teacher. If the question is given to you, then that is how you will respond to that. But when we talk about evangelism, I want to catch the very last sentence on page 54. As it goes over to 55, I want you to catch this. It says, he trains them to lead others to Christ and prays for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come upon them all. This is what the evangelist is concerned about, our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Whether we're saved and are we filled with the Holy Ghost? Are we saved and are we filled with the Holy Ghost? He's not going to deal with marriage. He's not going to deal so much with the healing ministry, even though that can be a part of his outreach. But he's concerned about not counseling, but evangelism, saving the soul. So number two here is he trains them, the evangelist, he trains them to lead others to Christ. This is what his forte is, to train others to lead them, to lead others to Christ, and prays for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come upon them all. So that's number two. So make sure you're keeping up, you're marking your book and your pad. And I'm getting here, reaching for my pen out of my own pocket so that we could have that. So your question and quiz has come. We know where we are. We know where we are. So that's important. Number one, I talk about the teacher and how the teacher concludes that everybody need more training. We need mandatory classes and that continuing education is required. So that's number one from the teacher. Number two from the evangelist is that he trains them to lead them to witness, to lead others to Christ. That's number two. So make sure you have those. Number three, we talk about the prophet. We talk about the prophet, and it is important here that we understand the prophet ministry. The prophet ministry, very vital, important ministry that we all are to embrace. He says to the prophet, now arriving on the scene, he gets there after the pastor has done his part and after the evangelists have gotten people saved. So the prophet says, know this, knew this was going to happen because he had a dream about it the previous night. Well, the prophet is a seer. He also received insight, revelation, and foresight from the Lord concerning future events. Things that God is about to do, God wants to do in the earth realm, so that he also can become the pronouncer of the event before it even happens. So it brings people into an awareness that God is about to do something. So get ready for what God is about to do. So the prophet here goes on the scene and he said, well, I know this was going to happen. I already had a preview of it. So I know this event was going to happen. So he goes on to say, because everyone in the dream had survived the accident. You see, he saw that everybody was going to survive the accident. He rebuked the spirit of death and declares what great faith and unction that all shall save, shall live, and none shall die. Prophet is always prophesying, declaring. In the beforehand, which also causes events not only to stop from happening, but cause the results to work in our favor when we are challenged, when we are dealing with a tragedy or an accident like this. But our outcome will always be the Jeremiah 29:11 that said the thoughts of God is always good toward us and never evil, but he set his force that we have a divine outcome, you know, a predestined outcome, because it's already predestined. So even if you're going through a storm, even though you're having challenges in your life, understand that the prophetic has already declared, we shall survive this. We shall get to the other side of this situation. God will take care of us. No harm will come to us in this situation. Matter of fact, the storm is going to work to our advantage. See, the prophet is always prophesying the result that is favorable toward the believer, because God always wants you to win. God always wants you to come out on top. So the prophet says, well, I saw it happening in my dream, and I saw that everybody survived and everybody came out. Okay. And so I begin to speak in the atmosphere knowing that it was going to be all right. It's foresight. And he also proclaims that there are angels surrounding the scene of the accident and prays that the eyes of all the people's hearts will be open to see in the spirit. To see in the spirit. Well, let's make a note of this. The evangelist is always, the prophet is always focused on you hearing the word of God, hearing what God is saying, and seeing in the spirit. Hearing what God is saying and seeing in the spirit is one of his focuses. And so notice that, make note of that. You know, that a prophet is the foresight. He's always spending time in the spirit world. He's always spending time in the spirit world is where the prophet spent a lot of his time, seeing from heaven to earth and not from earth to heaven. He's not telling heaven about the earth, but he's telling earth about heaven. So to have spiritual insight and revelation knowledge is where the prophet spends his time, and he speaks from that place of the spirit world. So then he walks around and stares and starts to call the destiny out in various people. He released a spirit of revelation within the group. And finally, he requires naturally, he begins to ask around to find out who is in charge at the scene. When he discovers the one in charge, he discerns whether this is God's chosen leader or not. Or if he finds that no one is in charge, he will appoint a leader. Well, see, it's always about heaven. It's always about the spirit world. It's always about God's assignment. is what the apostle is always seeing into and always speaking. And then also he's always speaking order. He's also speaking order, even though I'm speaking to these things genuinely, but these are the insights from the teaching that we're seeing on page 55. The prophet is always seen in the spirit. He speaks from the spirit world. And then he's always prophesying the destiny of those who are in contact with the Lord, those who are in the church, those he meet on the streets. He's always speaking their destiny. And then it says here, he's always setting order. He's always setting order. So making sure that we make note of those things so we have knowledge of them. But if we're going to deal with number three, dealing with the prophet, let's focus on that. Middle ways of that paragraph, talking about the prophet, it said, then he walks around and starts to call the destiny out of various people. He releases a spirit of revelation within the group. So to make a note, number three, that the prophet, speaks or sees, let me use this scripture right here, yes, this is where we want to go. It said, he also proclaimed that there are angels surrounding the scene of the accident and prays that the eyes of all the people's heart be open to see in the spirit. The prophet prays that the eyes of all the people open so they can see into the spirit. So underline it in your book, making that number three, because it is important that whenever you're up on a prophetic ministry, you understand that he's always speaking prophetically, and he's speaking from the spirit world of what he sees God is doing and what God is about to do and what God's releasing in the earth and your part in God's plan. That's the prophetic, always speaking in this dimension. Okay, so that's number three. Number four, we talk about the apostle. Now, understanding that the way the accident scene scenario is set up, it starts with the pastor, and then it goes to the evangelist, then it goes to the prophet and the apostle. But that is not the divine order, but it's just the scene that he's talking about. But the divine order, again, is Ephesians 4, verse 11 through verse 16. And he talks about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. So that's the divine order. So this is not in the divine order, but it is also showing us the role, the model of the church today in America. This is how it's designed, and it's out of order. It is out of order. It is not the divine order that God has set up. They all are important. They all are necessary. But when we line up with biblical scripture, we want to make sure that we're in line the way the apostles declared it to be, how Jesus had declared the church to be set up and how to operate in a divine order. So let's look back in on page 55, and we deal with the apostle again. The apostle here says, prays for the injured. The apostle prays for the injured. He invites the supernatural healing touch of God into the scene. He begins to tell testimonies of when he has been on the scene of car accidents and witness the power of God manifest itself in those situations. The faith level of the people began to rise. He then asks if anyone can feel heat in his hand, in his or her hands. He puts those who raise their hands to work praying for others to be healed. The demonstration to all who are near that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He then opens a school for those who arrive at car accident scenes and send them all over the world to do signs and wonders. This is against the apostolic, the apostles, again, those who, along with the prophet, is a seer, and he's the sent one, and he's given the assignment to establish the church, to send forth workers into the vineyard, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to empower them to do signs, wonders, and miracles. To do signs, wonders, and miracles. This is the major project of the apostles, equipping the saints for an effectual work, according to Ephesians chapter 4. Very, very important. So this is number 4. We're talking about the apostles. Again, he's the called one, the sent forth, and then he's the one who's experienced the wave of the Holy Spirit, the wave of the works of God, and he's proven to have the insight to establish the church and send forth workers. So when you go back to number 4, let's make a note of so we can have the question and the answer for our quiz question. It says here, he proclaims a closing second to the last verse. We'll make sure we get it. It says he demonstrates to all who are near that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's the proclaimer. He's also the proclaimer, and he proclaims that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, how do we know the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Well, Jesus says the sick is healed, the blind do see, the dumb do speak, and the lame do walk, and the dead is risen back to life. When he shows these things, he shows the demonstration of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom of heaven. Apostles always have signs following them. The signs are always following them. They walk in a situation and they make earth look like heaven. They change the results in of the works of Satan that have come to kill, steal, and destroy. They go in and they bring life. And they bring life to people. They change people's conditions because of the power that they are packing, the anointing that is on their lives and their office, that God has ordained that signs, wonders, and miracles are the workings of the apostles. Acts of the Apostles talk about how those signs and those wonders follow the apostles. And they work many wonderful works through the apostles. And so that's part of the apostolic, is miracle signs and wonders being released in order, being restored back to the earth as heaven on earth. And so make sure we note that's number 4 in the apostolic, to demonstrate to all who are near that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they do it by showing signs, wonders, and miracles. So apostles are always demonstrating heaven on earth, heaven on earth. This is a powerful teaching, and so you'll be able to discern when you're watching ministries, or you're watching ministers on television, or you're watching the Holy Spirit drawing you to pay attention. You'll always begin to take this scenario in these lit insights so you can understand the workings of the apostles, the workings of the prophets, the pastors, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So now your eyes of your understanding is open. You say, okay, yeah, I see it. He's a pastor, or he's an evangelist, because I see the works that he's doing and what he's demonstrating. And those are the works of the evangelist. Those are the works of the apostles, you know, setting order in the earth realm, you know, those type of thing. And then not only setting order, but sending people out. Apostles is a goer himself. He's a sender. And so he's always training people to send them out to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is important. So put yourself in a position, let me encourage you, in this culture. Make yourself available to the Lord, that wherever he wants you to go, you're open. You're open to evangelism. You're open to the pastoral. You're open to the prophetic and the evangelist. And you're open to the teaching ministry. Lord, if you want me to go in and be a missionary, if you want me to, whatever you want me to do, the prison ministry, I am open, not just to be standing around these four walls, inside these four walls, what we call the church building, but I'm ready to go forth to manifest the kingdom on earth. The kingdom of heaven is near us and it's come to the earth. That is very important. that we understand the working of the ministries and how they operate. So we did the teacher, we did the evangelist, we did the pastor, and we also did the prophet. Okay, and so these are good, and we've done the pastoral. So they are good to apprehend and know what we're called to do. Glory to God. I'm trying to make sure that I covered. We did the teacher. It's always about training. As a teacher, I might have said that's a pastor. I apologize if I did. That was the teacher. The one I gave you for number one, that was the under the teacher. Number two was the evangelist. Number three was the prophet. Number four was the apostle. So I want to do something in reverse. So we want to go back to those numbers again. Go back to the pastoria. And again, a pastoria is always dealing with cultivating, making sure everybody's safe. It says the pastor here, go back to page 53, because I did skip it. I believe I did. And I didn't give you the number or the answer from for the pastor. So we deal with the pastor. Let's focus in upon as question number five. We'll do this at number five. It's in a reverse order. But we'll do this number five. It says the first, the pastor here, back on page 53, first aid to injured victims. The pastor loves to aid injured victims. You see, pastor is always in the place of comfort, securing, making sure people are safe. So just out of this teaching, let's say the pastor is always ministering first aid to victims. You know, people come in wounded, they come in hurt, they come in bruised from life situations. And pastors are always trying to make sure everybody is okay. Everybody's receiving treatment. And that's why we have so many different programs in our ministries. Because, in fact, people do come in, and they come in with situations, marriage, your family, divorce, separation, widowed. They come in with all kind of financial debts. And so we have to have different programs to minister to the various needs that comes into the local church. This is also effective ministry. It's not just that we're trying to be a hospitaler, but we are an hospitaler to those who are a loss, those who are need hope, those who are broken and wounded. We are a hospitaler to them by pouring in the oil of the anointing, but making sure that we're not crippling people, but we're helping people to get up so they can go forward, and help themselves and help others in the work of the kingdom of God. So again, number five would be first aid to injured victims. The pastor is always making sure that the first aid is always reaching the victims who come into the church, wounded souls that come to the church. So make sure we're in that. The book that you're reading, The Culture of Honor, has various phases in it. And we want to make sure that we try to cover as much of it as we possibly can, because it's important. I've been teaching this class for a number of years, and I haven't yet been able to exhaust its resource, its information. And so we're constantly digging, seeing, and making sure that you, the sons and daughters of and men and women of God, that you're getting the revelation you need so that the spirit of discernment can work strong in your life, so that you can be effective witness and a work in the kingdom of God, that you can be able to help equip your man of God in the local church for the greater work, that you are his arms, you're his legs, you're the extension outside the walls of the church building. And this is how vital you are, and your role is in the body of Christ. So God is dependent on you. He's dependent on me to make sure that we execute heaven on earth, that men can see the goodness of God and be able to walk in the power of his spirit. the power of his anointing. So making sure those fivefold gifts again are the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Listen, we're going to move forward on our next lesson dealing with the apostles and prophets. And then we're going to go through this teaching in this chapter. And then we may move forward to another lesson, because I want you to get the meat of the teachings, the meat of the teachings, so that you can be fully supplied for this work. Look, I love you. God love you. We'll see you next time here in the School of the Spirit with our chief apostle, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. God bless you. Stay and be blessed. Jehovah Shalom.